Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise God. Somebody say, God's got a plan for my life. Hallelujah. We're going to walk it out, aren't we? We're going to walk it out. And do the work of the Lord. Remember, everything we're to be doing in life is to be unto Him. So we're not just working as unto men. We're not working just for a paycheck. Now that is the mentality of most people. They just work for money. They work for that paycheck. But we're not to be working for a paycheck. We're to be working for the Lord Jesus. He said you can't serve two masters. The paycheck, the money, can't be a master. If you're working for it, then it's your master. But the Lord is our master. We're working for Him. We're serving Him. And so He's the one that'll take care of us. He'll provide for us in life. Even if things go wrong with our job. Even if things go wrong with our job, it's not the end of the world. I got news for you. Even though the business closed up, Jesus didn't. Men might fail you, business adventures might fail you, financial deals might go bad, but Jesus never will go bad. He'll never fail you. Come on. And He is your provider. You know, I'm reminded after Jesus had multiplied the bread and the fishes and fed thousands of people, not just on one occasion, but He did that on two occasions. Right in front of His disciples. His disciples were a part of it. He had them, you know, handing out the baskets. Go out there with the baskets that the people would take the food out of. And so they were right there in the middle of this. They saw all these great things. And then they go out there, get on a boat. And as they're going across the lake, Jesus makes a statement. He says, you know, beware of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, the religious people. And they didn't understand what that meant. And being carnally minded, not spiritually minded, they started looking around the boat and go, who brought lunch? Who's got the lunch? Who's got the bread? Because they thought Jesus was talking about bread. They thought Jesus was getting upset with them because He's like, you know, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And they're thinking bread. How many of you know, when you see the disciples like that, these are the guys that Jesus used to turn the world upside down eventually. Happy to know when you see them like that, there's a lot of hope for you and I. Come on. They were as carnal as could be. And they just bickered and were trying to outdo the other one and trying to be first and all these kind of things. And, of course, Jesus wasn't talking about bread, but they were like, you know, man, we forgot bread. And Jesus says, how is it that you're reasoning among yourselves about bread? He said, how much bread did we have when we fed the thousands? You know, there was thousands of people we just fed with bread. Two times. And you guys are going to sit here worried on the boat because we don't have lunch? We're going to be all right, guys. Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. Come on. And He can multiply things. He can do miracles. I believe He has done things like that. But He does it very, very quietly, very discreetly. And a lot of times we can miss it. Not even know a miracle just happened. You know, this bill, this money came in. And we go, oh, good, praise God. I mean, well, it was an absolute miracle. You know, somehow, I don't know, I wasn't really doing my budget, but somehow we have enough. We shouldn't have had enough, but we have enough. We're still here. We're still eating. Our bellies are still getting big. I mean, huh? It's okay. Jesus is taking care of us. We don't have to worry. He's our employer. He's our boss. He's our provider. He's the one that meets all of our needs. We don't meet our own needs. We've got to renew our mind now. See, that's the way of this world, which is under the influence of the god of this world, Satan. It's a part of the kingdom of darkness. We're not in the dark anymore. So we understand, no, God is our provider. That's one of His names, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord that sees ahead and provides. That's who He is. He's the Lord that sees ahead and provides. So is the Lord your Lord? Yes. He sees ahead and He provides. That's who he is. That's just what he does. All we got to do is trust him, not jump overboard. Just know that he is going to meet our needs. He is going to provide us with everything that we have need of in life. We are working as unto him. And that's exciting. You can get up happy every day and go to work because you got a great employer. I said you got a great employer. You got a great boss. And serving him is a joy. It's a joy serving Jesus. He'll never do you wrong. Now, I know some of the people you work around, they might do you wrong. That one that is called employer in the natural might not recognize the great job you're doing, might recognize somebody else instead of you. That's all right. Jesus recognizes you. Jesus sees what's going on. Jesus sees you there. So you don't have to worry. And he doesn't want us to worry. We bring glory and honor to him when we trust him, when we believe in him, when we rest in him, when we know no matter what's going on, I know God has got me covered. He promised me. It's who he is. I'm not going to worry about this. And we can live a worry-free life. We can get all, think about that. We can live, we should be living worry-free lives. We shouldn't allow any worry in life. Worry starts coming in, we go, oh, no, no, no. No, I don't worry. I got Jesus. I got no worries. I got Jesus. Jesus take care of all worries. He cared for me. He cares about me, and he cares about those things that concern me. And he said he would perfect those things that concern me. So he's right now perfecting the things that concern you. You got any concerns? Don't be worried about it. Jesus is perfecting those things. Those things that you care about. Jesus is perfecting them. He's on the case. He's on the job. So all the pressure isn't on us. All the pressure is on him, on his word, on what he said. That's where we put all the pressure. We don't have to carry all those burdens. We weren't created to carry burdens. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Glory to God. I'm yoked to the Lord. I'm yoked to him. I'm carrying his burden and it's light. It's just the burden of believing. Believing him. Believing that he is with me and he's going to be and do everything that his word said. He is faithful. That's his name too. Faithful and true. Faithful and true. So say, God is faithful to me. So I can be faithful with my job. I can be a faithful employee. Now again, we're all employees. We're all employees of the Lord, right? But then there's also businesses that we work for, people that we work for in the natural. But again, we're just serving them as unto the Lord, all right? So it doesn't just stop with man. It goes past them. It goes past humans. And we are serving the Lord. So the Lord is our employer. So then when men don't do us right or we don't think they do us right. You know, so many times people get it so messed up in their heads. Bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. You know, many times people just get it all wrong and they think something about somebody, about their leader, and that isn't even true. It isn't even right. But they just get things all distorted in their mind and then they go ahead and quit on God. Of course, they don't think they're quitting on God, but they quit on God. They abandon God. They become unfaithful with where they're at. But you and I need to remain faithful, even when we're dealing with people that seem to be doing us wrong. Because again, God's never doing us wrong. He will always provide for us. He will always take care of us. Always. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to panic. We don't have to quit. You don't have to quit your job. Now, a lot of people are at different jobs for different reasons and things. And we can get into that. I don't think I'm going to get into that right now. But and so, you know, there are some jobs that, you know, nobody says you have to stay there for the rest of your life if you got a job, you know. It just depends on, did the Lord lead you into that job or is that just the job that you took? But the bottom line is none of us should abandon ship because we're offended, because of trials and tests. Huh? Because somebody treated us wrong, because things didn't go the way we felt it should have gone, and therefore I quit. That should never be the reason for quitting. That's the time to shine as a believer. That's the time to shine. Go with me over here to 1 Peter chapter 2. And the book of 1 Peter says a lot about these things. Submitting to authority, honoring authority. And here in chapter 2 and in verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now notice that there. He says abstain from fleshly lusts. Why? Because it's going to get God mad. No. What lust does is it creates a war in your soul. And there's a lot of people, they got World War 4, 5, and 6 going on the inside. They're tossing grenades. There's all kinds of stuff going on in there. It's a battle. There's a war going on in there. And a reason for a lot of it is because people are opening themselves up to lustful things. They're opening themselves up to things that are stirring up all kinds of selfish desires. And when you get those selfish desires all stirred up, they're going to fight you. They're going to fight you, the real you, the spirit person that you are, that righteous person that you are in Christ Jesus. They're going to fight you. So it's just not, it's not worth it. It's not worth opening the door and allowing the devil to toss you a grenade. It has pleasure written on it, but it's a grenade. Don't allow him to toss a grenade into your soul. Next thing you know, boom, you're a mess. Things are just in turmoil. You can't think straight. You're in confusion. There's smoke everywhere. You don't know what's the next thing you're supposed to do. Don't let lust get in. He said, I beg you, as soldiers, as pilgrims, as people just passing through this world, this is not our permanent home. We're just passing through here. We're not living for this place. He says, I beg you, as you go through this place, guard yourself, keep yourself from these fleshly lusts that are just going to cause you to be busy 24/7 trying to put out fires. It's going to keep you busy from the plan and purpose of God for your life, keep you busy fighting internal battles. God doesn't want you busy fighting internal battles. He wants you busy out here working for him and his kingdom, living free on the inside. So close the door to that junk. Don't allow fleshly lusts to get a place in your soul. Verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. I looked at that word honorable. Of course, we've looked up the word honor and have gotten a lot of great definitions and synonyms for the word honor. But I looked it up here, this word honorable in the Greek, and it is all those things we've talked about in the past. But it also just means honest. Honest. So we need to be honest. Honest with ourselves. And it's amazing how that is connected with fleshly lusts. Because many times people that yield to fleshly lusts, they're not honest with themselves. And friend, if you're not honest with yourself, then who will you be honest with? And the truth of the matter is, there are so many people that lie so easily. But again, if you lie to yourself, if you justify things to do things that just stir up fleshly lusts and you just do things deceiving yourself, how much more are you going to, how easy is it going to be for you to deceive others and lie to others? People lie about the stupidest things. Did you go to the store yesterday? No. No, I didn't go to the store yesterday. No. Are you going to come to the meeting later on? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have no intentions of it. Oh, yes, yes. People just lie over the stupidest things because they're dishonorable. There's dishonor in them. But you and I are to be honorable. We're to be honest. Honest. In everything that we do in life. And then I thought it was interesting too that it also means genuine, which means honest, of course, but it means beautiful to look at. Being honorable among the Gentiles. beautiful to look at, sharp, excellent, valuable. You know, there's a beauty that transcends Maybelline and Mary Kay. There's a beauty that goes beyond the flesh. There is. There's a beauty that transcends, and it's spiritual, and it's attractive, and it will draw people, Gentiles, that's the unsaved, that's heathen. It will draw them to you for you to be able to be a witness to them, to be able to minister to them, bring them to Christ. There's things that will make you very, very attractive. And it's being honest. It's being honorable. It's being a person of character, a person of integrity. Because when your spirit is right, man, it radiates out through your entire person. And it touches others. It touches others. We spend a lot of time on the flesh trying to look good according to the flesh. But man, if we would do this, if we would become more and more honorable and really put that first place in our life, man, it'll make us very, very attractive to the world. Very attractive to the world. Regardless of your physical condition, the color of your hair, and all those nice things. So he goes on. Verse 12 again. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, oh, those Christians, those holy rollers, bunch of hypocrites, all they think about is money. They're just, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, your good work ethics, which they observe, will glorify God in the day of visitation. What's it saying? It's saying that they will get saved, giving God glory when he visits their life for salvation. Here they are mocking you, ridiculing you, but you are radiating with the character of God, with the honor of God, being an honorable person. Not being a fleshy, lustful person. Not being a selfish person. You don't talk the same way that the Gentiles talk. You don't act the same way. You don't react the same way to negative circumstances as the Gentiles do. You don't react the same way. And as a result of that, you know, there's a lot of folks, they'll start off mocking you, having preconceived ideas about you, putting labels on you as a Christian, but as they observe how you work, as they observe your life. The Bible says when the day comes and the Lord visits them with his presence, they'll give him glory. They'll get saved. Hallelujah. They'll get saved. Praise God. So you remember, your life is preaching. Now, that's not enough. Now, a lot of times we say, I don't go around witnessing to people and sharing my faith. I just let my life be a witness. Well, you still got to open the mouth and you have to tell them the truth. You still have to share the good news. You got to tell them what Jesus did for them. But of course, you can tell them how great Jesus is, how wonderful Jesus is. But if you are the opposite, if you're just like everybody else, then it's tough for folks to believe. I think that's why, in some cases, it's why it's hard to win family members for some people. Because they see it all the time. They see the right. That's not always the case, you know, because Jesus said, you know, a man's enemies will be of his own household. You know, he did say that. He said a prophet is not without honor except among his own family, his own kinfolk. You know, and Jesus, of course, his own family rejected him. Isn't that right? And we know he did everything perfectly. So that's not the reason why all the time. But a lot of times, folks don't walk the walk as they talk the talk. And so we just want to make sure we're walking the walk and talking the talk. Correct? Verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now notice that, therefore submit yourselves. Submit yourselves to your employer. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Therefore, he says. Why does he say therefore? Because he's talking about what he was just talking about. What he was just previously saying. That by our good works, the world is going to be able to see Jesus in us. that we're going to be able to be a light to others. So you see, when we're talking about going to work, our working is more than just earning a living, a paycheck, and things like this. We're affecting other people. And when you go to work, whatever you do, you're affecting other people. Other people are observing you. You're coming into contact with other people. And so the most important thing is not getting something, but really giving something. You're going to work to give. Give light. Right? Give light. Give truth. Living honorably before these people. You're giving something that could change lives, that could cause people to get saved, cause people to be born again. And we have to realize that you're affecting people. And that's the most important thing, because you know what? Money cometh and money goeth. But people are going to be around throughout all eternity, whether in heaven or in hell. People go on forever. And so we want to make sure that we're influencing people, as many as possible, for heaven. I mean, that's the most important thing, influencing people for heaven. And you know, if we'll go to work with that mentality, that we're working for souls to be saved. I'm going to work to touch lives. I'm going to work so I can be a witness. I'm going to work so that I can be a light and people can glorify God. In the day of, people that aren't glorifying God right now will one day be glorifying God because they observe the way I work. Because they're observing my life. I'm being a positive influence upon them. And if we'll work to see people saved, Jesus himself said he will pay us. He said he'll pay us. He will give us wages for every person that we lead to him. He says that over in John, the 4th chapter. I don't know if I covered that recently or not. You know, you cover so many things, you're not sure if you covered it or not. But how many would like to see that? All right, we will then. Hold your place and go to John 4 real quickly. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now remember, Jesus said to the devil, remember he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he was saying, what was he saying? He's saying, my food is the word. My food is the word of God. But notice what he's saying here. He's saying, my food is to finish the work of the Father. There's work to do. That's my spiritual food. Or we could say, your spiritual fuel. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, go to work with the right attitude, and it's fuel to your spirit. It'll energize you. You go to work with all kinds of selfish motives and things like that, to get a nicer house, to get a nicer desk, to have more money in the bank. Well, that might fire you up a little bit, but that's passing. That's temporary. That'll burn out pretty quick. You know? That's like a little bottle rocket, you know. That's it. Nothing lasting. Right? Just a little fizz. But if you want some fuel, you want some fuel that gets your jet engines burning. Really, I'm talking about high octane stuff, man. It's working for God. Working for Jesus. Jesus said, this is my fuel, man. This is my food to finish the work of God. It was so real to him that he, in this situation, he had forgotten about his physical hunger. This whole thing starts off with Jesus being thirsty and hungry. But Jesus completely forgot about his thirst and his hunger as he just got lost in the work of the Father. As you get lost in the work of the Father, I mean the things of the flesh will just fade out of importance. It just won't be as important to you anymore. It'll become less and less important. Even to the point where you forgot. Oh, I forgot to eat today. I just forgot. You just got so into what you were doing. That's a great way to live. Rather than hearing every little thing the flesh says. I'm hungry. Oh, my stomach's growling. I feel so tired. I feel this. I feel. We're feeling everything because we're not getting lost in the work. Get lost in the work. He said, my food is to finish his work. Verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And what's he pointing at? He's pointing at all the people that are coming to him to hear his word. All of you that are coming to him for salvation. He's calling them a harvest field. He says, look at this field. Look at this harvest field. It's white, man. It's ready for picking right now. I'm telling you, there's people ready for picking. There are people in such need, people in desperate need for Jesus right now. People want God. They want answers. And Jesus is the answer to everything in life, to all their questions. We got him. The harvest is ripe and ready for people to come into the kingdom of God. In verse 36, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. So there's people out there, they're ready. You know, Jesus has already sent other people to them. They've already been influenced and drawn and they've heard the gospel and they have a certain amount of understanding. And now he's saying, now just go reap them. Go out there and gather in this fruit for eternal life. And so you're gathering in fruit for eternal life. But notice what he said in verse 36. And he who reaps these souls for the kingdom will what? Receive wages. Wages. Payment. God's going to pay you. God's going to pay you. Isn't that good news? Praise God. God's going to pay you for every person you bring into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because you're doing his work. You're doing his business of saving lives. All right, coming back to 1 Peter chapter 2. For this, verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Man, you can put to silence. He says, this is what you want to do. People that are foolish, people that despise God, despise his word. God wants you to shut them up. I mean, do you want people talking bad about you? Huh? No. Nobody likes when people talk bad about them, right? Well, neither does God. God don't appreciate it. God doesn't appreciate the world mocking him, jeering him, having all kinds of wrong ideas about him. It's foolish. But he says, by you doing good, by you working good, he says, you're going to put to silence these foolish people. Hallelujah. You know, because think about it. God hears our praise, but he also hears all that other stuff. All at the same time. So we want to lift up praise. Something we want to give God something good to hear, but at the same time, we also want to try to shut up some of these other things so God don't have to hear that. Right? We don't want God to have to hear all this junk. So how do we shut it up? By going up to him and saying, shut up. No. You don't tell him to shut up. You just live a life that shuts him up. Live a life that shuts them up, praise God. And one of the ways you shut up foolish people is by shutting up yourself. Ah, yes, it is true. Big mouth, not good. Bible says there is a multitude of sins in a big mouth. Doesn't quite say it like that, but. You see, many times we want to speak our mind about how unjust and how unfair and how they're not paying me enough and they're not treating me right. And because you won't shut up because money's more important to you than the soul that you're speaking to, you're ruining them. You're ruining them and you're adding to all the noise of foolish people in the world. So, but if we'll be quiet and we'll be peaceful and not react to everything in the flesh and not be fleshy. Oh, praise God. Then we'll make them quiet. We'll make the world around us more quiet. Hallelujah. Quiet all the foolishness. So verse 16, he goes on, as free. Is anybody free in here?
Yes.
Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Again, that word bondservants, we could look at that as employees. Servants, employees of God. As employees of God, honor all people. Again, we're still talking about being honorable. Having our conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Responding honorable at work. Living honorably before others. Here he says, as free, you're not using your liberty as a cloak of vice, but as employees of God, honor all people. The New Living Translation says, for you are free, yet you are God's slaves, employees. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. There's a lot of that running around today. Well, it's all grace. It's not about my works. It's not about how I work. It's not about my behavior. It's about His grace. And so our behavior just gets worse and worse and worse and looks more like the Gentiles. And so now we're using grace as an excuse for evil. It happens. It's going on in a lot of different places. But thank God that's not us. Right? Yeah, we're free indeed, praise God. But we're still going to watch how we walk. Going to walk godly. Going to walk holy. Going to live honorably among the Gentiles. The New International Version says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Live as God's slaves. You're slaves for Jesus. You're His employees. You're working for Him. Amen? Verse 18. Servants, again, employees, be submissive to your masters, your employers, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Talking about a rough boss. You got a rough master, rough boss. They're not treating you fair. Notice what he says. He says, be submissive to them and fear them. In other words, respect them. Don't look down on them and speak ill of them. But reverence them, respect them, even when they're looking down upon you. Even if they're harsh towards you. I mean, it's, a lot of times folks can't handle any kind of rebuke. You just come in there and say a little something, and it's like, a lot of times folks, I'll just quit. I'll just get a divorce. I'll just this, I'll just that. Don't talk to me like that. I can't stand it. But here he says, be submissive, be respectful to the good, the ones that are sweet to you, the ones that love you, the gentle to you, and to those that are rough with you. Go ahead and take the garbage out. The ones that are rough, harsh. That word harsh means unfair. Not just harsh, but unfair. They're unfair. They're really unfair. But you don't really have to run around and tell everybody how they're unfair. Because if you run around and tell everybody how unfair they are, you are worse than them in the eyes of God. That word harsh also means crooked. Crooked. Cruel. Cruel. Unreasonable. Unreasonable. Overbearing. Ill-tempered. He says, be submissive. Be respectful. Even when they're cruel, even when they're harsh. Why? Because ultimately, what's God want? God wants good to triumph over evil. God wants to prevail through you in the situation to win that person over. To turn that cruel, angry, harsh person into a child of God. We got a few examples of those in the Word. Huh? How about Saul of Tarsus? He was rough. He was finding Christians, and he was having them beaten, tortured, and thrown in prison. He stood by and assisted in those that had Stephen, one of the first recorded martyr in the Word of God, stoned to death. Saul. But you know what? Saul went on to become Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle. And you talk about submission. Let's talk about Stephen for a moment. Here he is. He's standing there being lied about, being accused. The guy is glowing with the glory of God. He's radiating. The Bible says that he's radiating with the life of God so that when they looked at him, he had the appearance of an angel. He's like an angelic being. I mean, God was just radiating. He's preaching. He's only done good things. People have been healed through his ministry. Miracles have happened. And now he's standing there, and they're lying about it. And then they start coming at him, gnashing their teeth and throwing rocks at him. And as he's getting stoned to death, he says, Lord, don't lay this sin against them. Don't hold it against them. These are his last words. Other than, Lord, receive my spirit. He said, Lord, don't lay this sin against them. Even then, he's not accusing. He's not judging. Come on. You talk about harsh. You talk about unfair. Being stoned to death. And he goes down praying for those people that are having him executed. Wow. That's faith in God. I said, that's faith in God. That's what faith in God can do. Faith in God can do all things. And what a witness he was to all those people. He said, well, what good did it do? Well, Saul was there. Saul witnessed this whole thing. And he's holding the coats of those that are stoning Stephen. He's like, yeah. There's another stone. Throw that one at him. But he's looking, going, what's with this guy? What did he just say? Forgive him? I never seen anything like this. Never heard anything like this. So then he leaves there, and he still goes on his rampage. He's still having people arrested and things, but he's dealing with this. This is eating at him. It's gnawing at him. It's pricking at him. And finally, it gets to the point where his heart has been opened enough by the witness of Stephen, by his good conduct, that light from heaven hits him, and it hits him hard. Praise God. Knocks him off his high horse, and he gets born again. He gets saved, glorifies God in that day of visitation. Amen. Gets up and starts fighting for the church, man. Fighting for the saints. Building the people of God up. Wow. What a turnaround. But Stephen gets credit for that big time. Because Stephen was a big factor in the faith of Paul. He was a big factor. That's why when Jesus appeared to him, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, against that conviction, against what you're feeling on the inside. He's kicking against it. Ever since you saw Stephen go down like that, something's been working on him, convicting him. And that's what enabled Jesus to get a hold of him. It was to those convictions that Jesus made reference to, because that's what gave Jesus access into his life, to be able to bring such light to him. But notice, totally surrendered to God, surrendered to the purpose of God, not fearing and worrying about his life. Now again, there are times God will lead you out of situations. There are some abusive situations that people have been led out of that the Spirit of God has led me to encourage them. You need to move on from that now. But a lot of times people just jump ship real quick. I mean, they're not going to be uncomfortable for a minute. They're not going to get uncomfortable. They're not going to tolerate any kind of harshness, anything like that. But you know, it's good to endure through some things because it makes you stronger if you endure through it in faith. So it makes you strong in faith. That's what builds your character. It's what causes God to be able to be great through your life. It's you exercising yourself through those hard times. We don't want to be quick to jump out of the boat. We don't want to be quick to quit. Quick to give in, quick to give up, quick to throw in the towel. Not even with our words. We shouldn't be spouting out failure and quitting and all these things. That's not what should be coming out of our mouth. We should be more interested in growing and being a witness through this thing. Growing and being a witness through this thing. I'm more concerned about Hothead over there than my own comforts. My own happiness. I'm more concerned about helping this ill-tempered, unreasonable, unfair, harsh person than saving my own life. Because love is more interested than others than itself. Can you say amen? Love is more interested than others than itself. So it's gonna love. And like I said, though, you know, there's seasons and times. There are times where God says, okay, it's enough, and he'll move you out of a situation and move you on to other things. But while you're in it, grow as much as you can. Get as strong as you can. Hallelujah. Prove yourself as much as you can in those hard, harsh times. Because it goes on to say in verse 19, for this is commendable. This is commendable. Commendable to God. How many people want to be commendable to God? Commendable to God. That also could be translated thankworthy. That word commendable, thankworthy. It's commendable, thankworthy. Think about it. Your endurance will cause Jesus to give you thanks. It's thankworthy before God. You'll be able to come before him and you'll say, oh, Lord, thank you for all you've done. And he's going to go, thank you. Thank you for standing up in that tough situation. Thank you for allowing me to come through you in those hard times. Thank you for being faithful to me and trusting in me. Thank you. Can you imagine that? See, a lot of times we think it's just going to be all about praising God and thanking him. But man, God's got some praise and thanksgiving to give. To give to those that have been faithful through those tough, tough times. For this is commendable. If because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So we are to follow in Christ's example of suffering. Now, how many of you know he wasn't an example of suffering the flu? Huh? We're talking about following his steps when he walked around. Did Jesus walk around sick? And say, follow my example. Huh? You're lying in bed, you're throwing up.
I'm just following your example, Jesus, suffering like you.
He didn't suffer like that. That's not following his example. If you want to follow his example, he didn't suffer like that. Instead, he took authority over those kind of things and delivered people from those things. Isn't that right? He got people healed, he got people delivered of all that kind of stuff. But what is he talking about? He's talking about suffering wrongfully, being accused, being mistreated, and taking it patiently, praise God, and turning the other cheek, and returning love, returning good for the evil that's done. That's what he did, right? I mean, look what they did to him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But his whole life was that way. What an example. The abuse that Jesus had thrown at him. And yet, what did he do? Did he become abusive? You know, if you take a dog and you keep beating the dog and beating the dog, then you take that dog and you put that dog in a junkyard and it becomes a good watchdog. Anybody that breaks into that junkyard is going to get chewed up by that dog, because that's an angry, ferocious dog. Why? Because they've beaten down that dog, beaten that dog, beaten that dog, and they've made that dog a very angry, ferocious dog. Haven't you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And a dog is just fleshy. A dog is not spiritual. And if you're just left to your flesh, then all the abusive things and the terrible things that have happened in life and how you're mistreated and how people looked at you wrong, God forbid, all these terrible things that happened to you and just abused you in life are going to turn you into a bitter, angry, ferocious dog. But friend, I got news for you. You're not an old dog. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a child of the living God. You're a spirit being. spiritually alive unto God, hallelujah. And you don't have to become ferocious and mean and ugly just because the world can be mean and ugly to you. You can allow all that mean and ugliness to turn you into Jesus. Huh? Can cause the Jesus that's in you to come out of you. Because he's in you. Somebody say, Jesus is in me. Hallelujah. And some good abuse will provide an opportunity for Jesus to come on through you. Why? Because he said in 2 Corinthians 12 that when you're at your weakest, when you're weak, that's when he's strong. When you got thorns in the flesh being shot at you, fiery darts from the wicked one through people. He says, man, when you're weak and you're feeling overwhelmed and beaten down, praise God, stand up tall and know that's when God's grace will rest mightily upon you. That's when you'll be at your strongest, because it won't be you anymore. It'll be God coming through for you. Hallelujah. And I want God. Don't you want to see God come through? Don't you? Well, praise God. Let it get ugly then. Let it get ugly. You've heard it said, when it gets dark in the world, we get brighter. Huh? Isn't that right? Well, let's bring that on home a little bit more. When it gets uglier, you get nicer. You get lovelier. The loveliness of Jesus is coming through. Praise God, because he is your joy. He is your peace. He is your life. Hallelujah. So we're not running. We're not afraid of the big bad boss. We're not afraid of the jolly green mean employer. We're not afraid of these giants. We're not afraid of these things, because we know if God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.